Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour, and today is Wednesday, October 12th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the internet at whyagain.org. If you go to that webpage and click on the two words start here in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click the link, download it, print it off, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over again, absolutely free. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you choose to tap on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one where people have been stepped through that worksheet process. And if you choose to listen to those on a regular basis, they can, or repeatedly, they can serve as a tutorial for you to learn how to get the most benefit out of these tools in the shortest period of time. And we hope people do that soon and often because primarily it leads to people having a better experience of life. And secondarily, it tends to promote comments, questions, answers, and testimonials. And if you have any of those to share with us, please give us a call at 563-999-3581. If you choose to call that number and press 1, it will put the little icon of a hand. And that makes it far easier for us to live into our intention with this work if you let us know specifically how this is resonating for you or what comments or questions you have or assistance in doing a worksheet or clarifying the nature of the worksheet process. It just makes it easier for us to live into our intention with this work, and that intention is to be of service. So how can we be of service? That's the big question. If nobody raises a hand, we get back into our progression through the Way of Mastery, which we've been doing since January 10th of this year. And we can do that, or we we can answer comments or questions, whichever seems to be top of people's mind for today. I did have a question through an email from Susan. She's asking about obsessive compulsive disorder and what might cause it. And while it's not really, you know, the focus of this show to talk about these things, I will say that over the last 25 or more years, there's been more and more research into things like the brain chemistry and the gut chemistry and the balance of the vitamins and the nutrients, and the people at the Pfeiffer Clinic and Dr. Walsh, and these people have had a tremendous amount of progress. They've made a tremendous amount of progress in helping people with various patterns of behavior and symptoms which have been labeled as psychological and psychiatric disorders over the years, which have, in our Western medicine model, have been come to be treated with matching a medication to a list of symptoms. And in this trial and error, hunt and peck method, continuing to try to tamp down or stomp out symptoms with medications. And I don't recommend that. I don't know anybody who's well-educated outside of the field of psychiatry that recommends that, and I've had the pleasure over the past few years of interviewing a whole series of medical doctors who went through their medical training, and they went through their psychiatric residency, and they became licensed as psychiatrists, and then they found out there's an entire body of research that says these medications were never really intended to be long-term. And the longer people are on these medications, for the most part, the greater cognitive decline there is, the greater chance the meds will stop working, and the greater the list of other effects. And they call them side effects, but they're just effects. And it's a semantics game to say these are the main effects and these are the side effects. Basically, they're saying, here are the effects of the medications. We like these effects, and we don't like those effects. But there are things that are being caused when people take the medication. On the other hand, if you go to somebody, if you go to a functional medicine-trained specialist, he or she will start helping you look at what's the underlying cause, whether it has to do with a neurological disorder or it has to do with a nutritional imbalance or hormone disorder, or it has to do with things that might respond well to skill building and training, or things that will respond well to the QEEG neurofeedback therapy to train the brain to fire differently. These are all things that do not rely on simply taking a medication. And when you're asking about, so what is the cause of XYZ, the fact of the matter is the jury is out on almost all of these things from a psychological perspective. No one knows exactly why somebody gets depression and their identical twin doesn't, or that within a family of five or six siblings, three of them get anxiety and two of them get depression. Why don't they all get anxiety, or why don't they all get depression? So there isn't a definitive knowledge base that I know of about what causes obsessive compulsive disorder or anxiety or depression. Or the constellation of symptoms that has been labeled bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. It has been my experience, though, that very few people actually have a thing that is pervasive and progressive like schizophrenia. Many of the people who have the signs and symptoms and they get that label, they have other things going on. And if they get into the proper therapy and or vitamin regimen, diet, exercise, therapy routine, etc., the symptoms that were labeled, that got them labeled as bipolar or schizophrenic or obsessive compulsive, the symptoms disappear. And if the prevailing thought about it as a disease and its typical progression were true, it couldn't disappear. So then you get into the issue of, well, was it just misdiagnosed? Or did they actually have those symptoms? And many people who have those symptoms don't really have an incurable progressive mental health disorder. They have a chemical imbalance and or a vitamin nutrient imbalance or hormonal imbalance that would respond to diet and functional medicine evaluation and therapy, et cetera. So, you know, there are people like Dr. Mark Hyman in the Cleveland Clinic. There's the Pfeiffer Clinic people. There's Dr. Walsh. There's a host of people that I've interviewed over the past 2.5 years on the On Your Mind podcast. That, you know, Dr. Deborah Simkin, who's a integrative and functional medicine specialist psychiatrist. And that's where I would point people if they've got a difficult situation and they go to a medical doctor who says, here, try this medication. That's okay to do. Try it. And if it works, great. But if you've been that route and you still have the symptoms, my strong encouragement is keep looking and go to another type of specialist, someone who's been trained in either the functional medicine and or the integrative medicine, and explore options, because there are many people who are finding relief from the symptoms. They're finding a vitality in life. They're finding getting their joy back, restoring their functioning, and they're not doing it just by taking a psychotropic medication. So that would be my input on that. Thank you for the question, Susan. And and we have all kinds of time for comments and questions. So yesterday we started reading a little bit in Lesson 24 in the Way of Mastery. And I kept thinking about it after I left the show yesterday, in between all these other sessions and busyness I had, and thinking about it last night. Because we only read 3.5 pages, basically, in the second half of the show yesterday. And I kept bouncing back and forth between the thought, we should really go back and reread Lesson 23, because it's what's been recommended. And the thought was, go back and read 23, or finish reading 24, and then go back and read 23 and 24. I seem to remember talking about this a little bit yesterday, and as we were reading Lesson 23, when I was reading this book, when it would say, go back and look at this lesson again, reread it, find the gems, it would prompt me to go back and reread it multiple times before moving forward. I probably had the book in my possession for more than a year, maybe 2 or 3 years, before I ever made it past the first 5 or 6 lessons, because it was so different, it was so new to me to think of what these observations that they're making at these deep levels. And it was just nurturing. It was enriching. It was calming for me to go back and reread. So far this year, we're in, you know, the 10th month of the year, and we aren't even done with the 24th lesson. So I wonder if we'll even get through the book this year. But today, we're in lesson 24. The heading's on lesson 24. The title of the lesson is, It's Now Up to You. And the first heading was, Choosing to Be the Truth. And I went back and read through some of the highlights after I read through it. And now we're at the section titled, Fulfilling Your Purpose. This next thing that comes up in the text, I remember when I read this, I thought, what the heck does this mean? Three words. Relationship is eternal. That just gobsmacked me. What does that mean? I was raised in the Western culture to focus mostly on the physical body. What does it mean? Relationship is eternal. What does it mean? Friendship is eternal. What could they possibly mean when it says co-creativity is the essence of knowing God or knowing creation? Co-creativity is the sole purpose of birthing in light the good, the holy, and the beautiful. That which brings the vibration of truth and reflects it in the world of time touches fear and dissolves it, touches guilt and replaces it with forgiveness, touches resistance and tension and replaces it with willingness and peace. Boy, do I wish that were the case, right? The way my mind works, wouldn't it be great if here's this magic pill I could take, here's this magic wand that gets rid of all fear, all tension, all grief, all guilt. What if all of those negative emotions were immediately wiped out and replaced with willingness and peace? Now, my conscious logical mind says that would be great, and that could never happen. And if I let my conscious logical mind drive the bus, I'm going to pretty much guarantee that it'll never happen. This is what Michael Rice calls the number one pseudo-solution of the non-being mind is I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to rely on my intellect. What the Way of Mastery says is the intellect, which has been shoved full of trivialities by your family and your language and your culture. Guy Finley has a story where there's a roving reporter who sees people walking and then a wall jumps up in front of them and they can't get around the wall. And they either knock themselves out trying to beat their head against the wall or they sit down and cry or they stress and strain trying to climb over the wall or run around the wall, but the wall just keeps moving and they stay blocked until one day somebody realizes, hey, who I have been is powerless to take me any further. And instantly when they realize that and they say that to whatever is blocking their path, they walk right through it. They become something different. If I want to have the dissolution of my guilt, my fear, my tension, my sadness, my anger, and if I want it replaced with willingness and peace, I have to be, as Michael Rice would say, out of my mind. I have to be willing to let myself be transformed into something different than I was the moment before when I felt stymied or stumped by life. So the text reads, relationship is eternal, friendship is eternal, co-creativity is the essence of knowing creation itself, co-creativity has the sole purpose of birthing in light the good, the holy, and the beautiful. That which brings the vibration of truth and reflects it in the world of time, touches fear and dissolves it, touches guilt and replaces it with forgiveness, touches resistance and tension and replaces it with willingness and peace. Then it asks, can there be any purpose in existence but this? For this you were birthed in the holy mind of your Creator. For this have you journeyed through the labyrinths of everything that's unlike love, that you might truly choose to return with perfect freedom into the marriage of Creator and created. Divine child, divine spark. For the union of the Father and Son, or Creator and created, is so intimate and so perfect and so filled with the perfection of love that in truth you will look and see no longer where you end and the Creator begins. You will be like the perfect lover of creation, given over to that love, pervaded by that love, melting into that love. Yet you will know always that you are the created. You are the wave to the ocean and the sunbeam to the sun. You will marvel with every breath. Spaciousness will come to the mind and even into the cells of the body in which you abide, in the knowingness. Beyond all conceptualization, the knowingness beyond the reach of all beliefs, the knowingness beyond the hope of every religion, the knowingness, the reality of the living spirit of the living creation. The way of transformation, then, comes to a conclusion as you sit quietly within yourself and look upon the past 12 lessons, the insights, the changes, the chance encounters. And you accept and you know that the being, you, the mind, the perceptions that began 12 lessons ago, that you no longer exists except as an echo of an ancient memory. And you no longer need to invest the power of your identity with what has passed away. The way of certain knowledge begins with this. Rest assured that the time you spend in contemplation before you begin the next part of this course, which will be known as the way of knowing, that part of contemplation that you rest in is your final transition, if you will but accept it. This is the time in which you can turn away from the past and look upon it no longer. This is the time in which you can step into the light of the future of your own personal destiny, held in the hands of a perfectly loving Creator that already has a plan for you, or you would not have been birthed, for you are certainly not an accident. This time, before you begin the way of knowing, is the most critical for you. For it is now up to you, you alone, to decide to acknowledge the capital T truth, to decide what you are committed unto. Are you committed unto the voice of the Holy Spirit or the voice of fear? Are you committed to using the things of space and time to reaffirm the old beliefs that you're separate from God? Or are you willing to use the things of time and allow the Holy Spirit to use them for you to demonstrate for you that you are in the world but no longer of the world. You are no longer possessed and owned by the world, but you are owned by that voice for love that has birthed you and sent you forth to bring forth the word, the energy of creation expressing in form, extending the good, the holy, and the beautiful. The text reads, the word is just that vibration in which peace, forgiveness, and knowing abide. The word is like a vibration, a wave that emanates from the depth of the ocean that speaks of the good, the holy, and the beautiful. It looks upon the things of space and time, even upon the body, and sees that nothing is to be feared. But it sees all things in their perfect, harmless innocence that owns and embraces the totality of your perfect freedom. You are pure spirit. You are as the wind. You can neither possess nor be possessed, for you are owned by the Creator. Love embraces you, love pervades you, and you hear no other voice but the voice for love. Through your eyes will shine a light so clear, for indeed the eyes are the window of the soul. Through your eyes will shine a light so clear that through you can begin to emanate the truth that is true always. And you will not fear looking into the eyes of a brother or sister and saying unto them, quote, I am that one sent forth of the Creator. And if I am with you in this moment, my only purpose is to be present as love, with you, for us, and for all of creation. This is the choice I make. This is the beingness I bring. This is the truth that I am devoted to. I bring you only love. Indeed, beloved friends, the way of the heart was designed to open you to the reality that within you lies a center of peace, a center of forgiveness, a center that can begin to take you toward certain knowing. The way of transformation was designed quite specifically for those of you that truly enjoined it. It was designed to dissolve certain patterns in the mind, to reactivate your power, to deliberately decide what you will think, what you will feel, what you will create, what you will believe, and what frequencies of thought will be acceptable unto you. Now you come to the brink of a decision that closes the door on a past once made in error that has been corrected. It's been corrected through the grace, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, and placed within your heart and mind. And the opening of a door of a life lived, not seeking the kingdom, but a life lived in the kingdom, in the light of the kingdom of perfect truth. Another quote, I and my Father are one. Nothing can arise by accident. My only purpose is to embrace creation, that the good, the holy, and the beautiful might be extended through even this body mind, wherever it happens to be. For my delight is the love of my Creator, my devotion to the extension of love, my peace from the embrace of my brothers and sisters, in the simplicity of a celebration that shall know no end. The text goes on and says, I am perfectly aware that there are many of you, as you hear these words, who will feel yet a subtle contraction as fear attempts one final time to claim ownership of your being. You are free to choose otherwise. You are free to say, quote, no. It is truth that I accept, not fear. It is truth I will allow, not fear. It is truth I will live, not for another, but for myself. For my only responsibility from the moment of my creation was to accept the atonement for myself, to allow the transformation to occur in the depth of my own mind, so that ancient words become in truth mine. Quote, I and my Father are one, and I know it, close quotes. Hence, I am free to walk this earth in gentleness, not to strive to move into the future, but to be borne by the wings of love that will carry me into the fulfillment of my destiny. And my destiny can only be that which reflects the Creator in this world, close quotes. The text goes on and coaches us to let not fear claim authority over the mind any longer. This does not mean that you will not occasionally feel fear like a wave through you. The only difference is that you need no longer value it. The next section is titled The Final Stage. The final stage, the way of certain knowing, is to claim your right to be perfectly happy. And perfect happiness can come only from the soul's decision to acknowledge the decision to value the truth and to live it. Nothing else can bring the soul to the completion of its peace. No other decision, no other thinking process brings the son to the father, brings the daughter to the mother, brings the created to the creator, brings the sunbeam to the sun, brings the wave to the ocean, in perfect remembrance that only love is real. And what is real cannot be threatened. That's a line right from the first part of A Course in Miracles. Nothing unreal exists, and what is real cannot be threatened. The text goes on and says, the world no longer holds the illusory power that you once gave it. It becomes no longer something you must conform yourself to in order to survive. For you are life eternal, and your life is held in the abundance of the Creator's love. You stand then on the brink of the complete transformation of the perception of the world. It will be radically changed instantly in the twinkling of an eye as you look out upon it and say, quote, there is nothing here that has a greater power than the love of the Creator. Because I abide in that love, I am freed from needing anything of the world. I am free only to give to the world. And what I give is added unto me. For by teaching I learn, and by giving, I receive. My love of creation is matched only by my love of self, capital S self, as that which creation has created, perfect and whole and innocent. For my love of my capital S self is so deep and so purified by the falseness of guilt and smallness of egoism that I want all of creation. And so I bring forth only that which allows me to feel and to know my oneness with that frequency and that light. Close quotes. So that quote again is, there is nothing here in the world that has a greater power than the love of creation. And because I abide in that love, I am freed from needing anything of the world. I am free only to give to the world. And what I give is added unto me. For by teaching I learn, and by giving I receive. My love of the Creator is matched only by my love of my capital S self, as that which is the Creator and what the Creator has created. It is perfect and whole and innocent. My love for myself is so deep and so purified of the falseness of guilt and smallness and egoism that I want only all of creation. And I will bring forth only that which allows me to feel and to know my oneness with that frequency and that light, the light of creation. Close quotes. I once said, the text goes on and reads, I once said that if you are not wholly joyous, it could only be because you have elected to use the power of your mind to think differently than your Creator. This is very much a message that comes across from Abraham Hicks. Whenever you're feeling tight or tense or sad or scared or depressed or angry, rest assured, when you're looking at somebody and you think they're causing your upset, the only reason, the only way you could generate that upset is because you're looking at and you're evaluating the people and things outside of you differently than source energy evaluates them, differently than your Creator looks at them. And this book just says, I once said that if you are not wholly joyous, it could only be because you have elected to use the power of your mind to think differently than your Creator. The way of knowing will bring you into the certainty of a perfect joy that is unshakable. Imagine then no more swings of depression, no more swings of self-doubt, just pure beingness of love, right where the ego used to claim property rights. The life that you were created to live is in the palm of your hand. The decision to end the way of transformation by simply acknowledging that, quote, only the truth can be true, and I am fully committed to being only that, close quotes, that acknowledgement brings you into the kingdom. No longer a journey to it, but now the eternal journey within it. Mystery upon mystery, miracle upon miracle, sublime beauty upon sublime beauty, peace growing into peace, as you surrender and sink into the reality of the Creator's presence forevermore, forevermore, and forevermore. For the Creator is without end and knows neither height nor depth. There is no limit to the capital R reality of the Creator. There can be no greater joy than to allow your consciousness, which is the gift of your awareness, to be ever permeated deeper and deeper and deeper by the certainty of a perfect knowing. Now, we'll get to what that perfect knowing is in a moment, but they just said, there can be no greater joy than to allow your consciousness, which is just the gift of your power of awareness, allowing your awareness to be ever permeated deeper and deeper and deeper by the certainty of a perfect knowing. And here's what they recommend that you know perfectly. Quote, I am that one. I abide in that love prior to every breath, prior to every thought, prior to every gesture. This body is not what I am, but I will use it as a communication device. I will not use it to separate myself from my brother and sister. I will use it to gesture in the ways of love, the ways of respect, the ways of gentleness, the ways of embrace, the ways of appreciation, and the ways of thankfulness. I will see my Father and in my brother and sister. I will see creation in all I look upon, and I will love that and honor them as the vehicle and the conduit that brings the light of the Creator to even my physical eyes. I will revel in the delight of how the sunlight sparkles on the dew upon the petal of a flower. I will listen to the barking of a dog and know that mystery has been made manifest. I will walk this earth as one who is free and one who is the spaciousness through which only love abides and is offered. Close quotes. That's the awareness that can bring the greatest of joy. Holding that awareness in your consciousness and allowing this truth to be permeated ever deeper and deeper and deeper into the certainty of perfect knowing that you are that one, that you abide in that love prior to every breath, prior to every thought, prior to every gesture. That body that you're in is not what you are. But you could choose to use it as a communication device. You could choose to refuse to use it to separate yourself or create the illusion of separation from your brother or sister. You could choose to use the body to gesture in the ways of love, the ways of respect, the ways of gentleness, the ways of embrace, the ways of appreciation, and the ways of gratitude and thankfulness. You could choose to see the Creator in each brother and sister. You could choose to love and honor them as a vehicle through which, the conduit through which the creation is expressed even to your physical eyes. You could choose to revel in the delight of how the sunlight sparkles in the dew upon a petal of a flower. You could choose to listen to the barking of a dog and know that mystery has been made manifest. You could choose to walk the earth as one who is free, as one who is the spaciousness through which only love abides and is offered. The text goes on and reads, "And many will be sent unto you who will awaken in your presence in even, quote, ordinary, close quotes, moments. You stand at the brink of all that the soul has desired. Is it not time to wrap the fingers or a hand around what has been placed into the palm and recognize, I am that one? It is time to live in the kingdom, guided only by the voice for love, by the voice for truth, by the purity of spirit." The last segment in this lesson is titled, "Spend Time Alone to Reclaim and Value Only the Truth." The text reads, "So I would ask you now to set aside yet a little time in which you abide wholly with yourself. Acknowledge the truth that is true always. I invite you to use the power of the clarity of your mind to decide against valuing illusions and use that power to value only the truth, that you might offer yourself into a life through through which the truth that is true always becomes concretely embedded in the totality of your being. For you, indeed, will know the truth, and you will know that it has set you free. Spend time by yourself, quietly, alone. A long time ago, I said once unto you that the decision was made alone in the depth of your being to see if you could create unlike God, if you could transform yourself into something which is other than what the Creator has created. That has been the whole drama and dream of the realm of separation, of the dream of the realm of separation. You must come back to claiming ownership alone, in which you decide to use the power of the mind to make a different decision. You must do this in the depth of your being. For you stand alone before your Creator, who waits patiently for its children to awaken and receive the gifts that the Creator would bestow upon the son, the offspring, the daughters and sons, that the sun would shine forth upon the sunbeam and that the ocean would give unto the wave. These gifts that await your awakening are all the power under heaven and earth to bring forth the good, the holy, and the beautiful, to walk in time as one who is timeless, to abide as a body mind, yet one who knows they are pure spirit shining forth temporarily through the body. It is given unto you now in the depth of your internal silence to reclaim ownership of your mind, to let parents, to let society, to let everyone off the hook. No one has caused you to feel what you feel, to think what you think, and act as you have acted. You have used the power of the mind to attempt the great impossibility of making yourself into something that is other than what the Creator has created. Now it is time to deliberately use the power of the mind to decide with your Creator. It is the end of all seeking. It is the end of all striving. It far transcends the purest and greatest of strategies and methodologies. It is beyond prayer. It is beyond meditation. It is the simplicity of the truth. Therefore, abide quietly. Those of you that will indeed make the decision and will step across the edge, across the veil into the kingdom, we will abide together for the next 11 lessons in the way of knowing, the way of perfect knowing. And you will see the totality of your life radically transformed. For that must be the case when the seeker is no more, and it has been replaced by one who has found and acknowledges it. Miracles will lead the way, for the mind that is given to true devotion to the Holy Spirit is unlimited forever in all ways. And the whole of creation shapes itself to be of service to the one who is anointed and claims it, and lives only to give the Creator to the world. Not one concern will arise before you that will not be taken care of and met before you run into it. The walls will dissolve. You will be miracle-minded. You will be the one who shines forth in perfect effortlessness, in perfect peace, and perfect joy. You will be Christ incarnate, And that is the purpose for which you were birthed in the mind of the Creator. It is in that mind that you are held now and forevermore. Be you therefore at peace this day and always. Be you therefore in the perfect knowledge that I am your brother and friend, and nothing but this. I am the one, that one who loves you and sees only the light of truth in you and looks forward to the day in which we create together as equals in honor and devotion to the great mystery that the love of the Creator is. Peace then be unto you always. Amen. That finishes up the way of transformation. That we will review before we move forward. We will review both Lesson 23 and Lesson 24. Someone mentioned early on as we were beginning to read this book 24 lessons ago that they found it useful to go through the book and take all of the quotations that are indented and copy them and just read them as a way of reviewing. And I highly recommend it. Whether you get access to the book because you've purchased your own copy through the ShantiCristo.com website, or whether you go to the ChristMind.info website and read it online. But every time there's an indentation, every time there's an offered quote, one could read those repeatedly to great effect, either as a review for each lesson or as a daily centering for your consciousness. So we have about 7 minutes left for comments or questions. Silent reflection or anything else anybody has to offer. We had our support group last night and we had some people processing some things and we had a segment listening to a Pema Chodron book about what happens when things are difficult, when things don't go well. And we'll have another support group tomorrow for those who might want to join. All the information about those support groups is available on the MindShiftersAcademy.org website. And we encourage people to go there and take advantage of that. That's just another resource that we make available. I make use on a regular basis of the archives of this show. It's been, you know, this is our 10th month of our 12th year. So we're going to finish the 12th year coming up here in January. And like the book says, everything that's born in time ends in time. So it'll be interesting to see if we get through the next 11 lessons in the way of mastery in the next 2 months, or if we're pushing into the next year. We hope you're enjoying it. We hope that it's of value to you to go slowly and have the commentary, which does what it can to provide references to the similarities between this work and other work, whether it's Guy Finley or Dale Ellen Hoffman. And Dale put out a little video yesterday or today about a quote from Walden Pond that if you advance confidently in the direction of your dreams, forces unseen in common times will move to your benefit. Just get out there and pursue your dreams. Move confidently in the direction of your dreams, and things will start to happen to bring you assistance, guidance, to bring your dreams to fruition, often in ways you had never imagined, and unseen in common times. It's one of Dale's favorite quotes, and he put out a video just, I said yesterday or today, restating that and talking about how powerful that particular quote has been in his life. And that's essentially what we're doing with this internet show and our support groups, is we're just offering what works well for us. And if it works well for you or resonates with you, feel free to join us and or pass the information along to somebody else, because our experience has been that makes this a better life for each of us individually and for us collectively. There was a On Your Mind podcast that got published yesterday with very little fanfare. Jeff Susick, who is a business coach who uses things like these tools, who uses awareness of the whole person and whole health, mental health, etc., as vital to the function of a corporation. That's available through the website. You can get there through the URL, theonyourmindpodcast.org, or just onyourmindpodcast.org. And it's the most recent. There are over 100 interviews we've done with various people in the past 2.5 years, and just another free resource, another way to tap into what is offered through the Journey's Dream nonprofit, where they're trying to help rewrite the narrative on mental health to one in which optimal health and well-being are possible and expected. And we do our best to keep putting out there in front of the public different resources to help that happen. Coming episodes will include some people who are working out in the LA area to help people move from dope to hope, and an interview with a person who spent a year to work there as a guide. These interviews are, again, available at onyourmindpodcast.org. And again, as a free resource, please feel free to spread the word on that, because there's a lot of good information in those interviews. And I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love. And everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Wait a minute. Thank you, Dr. Kim. Just a minute, Aria. Hold on. Thank you.
You're welcome and deserving. Have a great show.
Thanks. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. And today is Wednesday, October the 12th, 2022. And their call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you in the queue to talk to us. And we'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. And we've got Aria today. We picked her up from school just a little bit ago. And she is helping. Yes, you are. Thank you very much. Good girl.
So, I'll have to change.
We'll change your clothes. Can you tell everybody on the radio show hello? Tell them what the phone number is.
Hi.
563.
I'm 563. 999. And I'm also in Hunter Hill Circle.
Oh, she's giving you her address now. So the call-in number is 563-999-3581. And if you press 1, you can talk to us. Michael's dialing in, so we'll give him just a minute. And like I said yesterday, I found a couple glitches on the website. If you run across anything, please drop me a line to Jeannie, J-E-A-N-I-E, at whyagain.org, and let me know, and I'll get it fixed. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and thank you. Welcome, everybody. Delighted that you're here. Aria and Jeannie and I were just studying some of her favorite subjects, anatomy and physiology. I got a book from a friend of mine you've heard me talk about before, John Lawrence, and he's written a book called It's All in Your Head. And he does a thing called endonasal cranial therapy. And so he's got lots of pictures in it. And Aria just sat for the last 20 minutes turning page by page by page, moving up to, let's see, page 25. She took one page at a time, investigated every picture, asked questions about it, gave her understanding of what was on the page. So, and 20 minutes, that's a pretty fair concentration period for a child of 4. How do you get their attention that long? But it's her thing, so, and we're going to do more later. So she's right on it. She just saw that book and, like, latched onto it and opened it up and started turning pages. Pretty cool. Pretty sweet. In any event, you know, you've heard us talk about the energy field work in this Why Is This Happening to Me Again work. And basically the energy field work that we've developed to go along hand in hand with still point breathing is literally adjusting the antenna of this energy field. Now, when you understand the physics of the world, energy systems move through resonance, and in order to have a proper resonance in an antenna, you have to have the right shape. Now, most people think when the baby's soft spot hardens that the head is fixed and it's solid, but it is anything but fixed and solid, and in fact, it's moving, it's just a millimeter or two, continuously. You know, if you imagine you had a balloon and you blew the balloon up a millimeter or two, then you let some air out to drop a millimeter, that's what your head is doing. Actually, that's what your whole structure is doing 24/7, 365. So what we have in the complex bones of the head, the spine and the pelvis, are literally the antenna of the structure, and the shape of that antenna determines what frequencies it receives. If you've done an intense with this or a mind shifters and still point breathing workshop, you've probably had energy field work on you. What I was doing was working on, or what the person who was facilitating for you was doing, was literally working on your antenna. We've devised ways of getting the antenna into a place where it can be, if it's been physically or emotionally traumatized, can be restored to its proper range of motion. And back to its proper range of motion means that it captures or traps the proper signals that are needed for every cell in the body. If, you know, let's say a kid's dropped on their head and, you know, the parietal bone gets jammed up into the frontal bone, those bones don't move properly. And I don't think anybody's traced the pathways of which parts of the antenna bring in which frequencies for which organs, but let's say that particular movement for the frontal bone has to do with the liver functioning, and the movement of the parietal that's jammed into it has to do with the colon operating. All of a sudden, you've got somebody with colon and liver problems. And, you know, those who don't understand this structure as an energy system, we can go into a surgery this liver, a surgery this colon, or drug it back to life as though the body is missing this complex, highly toxic substance, and that's why it's sick. But in fact, until you restore proper range of motion with that frontal bone and that parietal bone, the frequencies aren't there to run the organ properly. There are going to be problems. And so the energy field work, as well as the breath, are about restoring the integrity of that whole system. And John, with his work, takes it to a whole other level. And this maybe sounds a little shocking at first, but what endonasal means is that, yeah, I guess in the short form, I have a balloon. I'm going to use a toothpick to guide the balloon up into a passage inside of one side or the other of your nasal cavities. I'm going to invite you to relax and take a big breath. And then for a second, hold your breath. And then I'm going to squeeze on a little bulb as hard as I can. And that balloon blows up in an instant. And the pressure of it starts to move those bones so that they can be restored to proper integrity. Called endonasal cranial therapy, something John's been doing for the last 30 years. We've been working with him for the last 30 years, and there's actually a whole chapter in here about forgiveness and about breathing and about the work of first century Aramaic forgiveness. I haven't actually gotten to read it all yet. We just got the book about 20 minutes before the show started, but there's a chapter where he brings our work in several ways to his endonasal cranial work. So pretty interesting to watch Aria's instant interest when the book landed on the table. She opens it, wants to know everything about everything in the book, right down to, he's got pictures of, you know, mummified skin. Well, what is that? How does that work? What's happening? I mean, her inquiry in that regard is just delightful and amazing. So welcome, and we're glad that you're here. We are getting ready to hit the road another week or so, and we'll be on the road to meet our new granddaughter. And we'll get to see our other two granddaughters. So we'll get to see my daughter, Krista, Avery Catherine, our granddaughter that's been circling the earth for 2 years, Adeline, who's been circling the earth for 10 years now, and Kaylee Jo, who has just been out of the wrapper for about 3 weeks now. So we're going to go and spend about 10 days with Michael J., for those who know Michael and his wife. Hang out supporting them. Michael J. is going back to work. He had a month of vacation that he took, time with the birth, so that he'd be able to just be there. And anybody that knows Michael knows that he has been wanting a baby for so long. It's like, his biological clock has been ticking for 20 years, and so he is in his glory with this new little one and just so right there and delighted. So extend love in his direction, if you would, and into the space of Kaylee Jo and Jamie, his wife. So we hold the space for you guys, and look forward to seeing your sweet faces. Beyond that, you know, if we talk back, go back and look at that cranial release therapy, the changing of the antenna of the structure, one of the things that ties it up, that locks it up, you know, we hear people talk about somebody who's uptight. What does uptight mean? Uptight means that muscles, nerves are locked, closed down, and shuttered, and that restricts the proper movement of tissue, especially the proper movement of bones. And so one of the ideas of first century Aramaic forgiveness is to look at the thought disorders that when exposed generate pain. And so most people do their best to hide those things from themselves, to dissociate from them, to tuck them away so they don't see them. And what ends up happening is tension is created in the tissue that it's stored in, and the tissue stops functioning properly. So we're looking to get everything back to a functional state. So that's the subtitle of John's book, Functional Cranial Release. And so the energy field work is a hands-on system I've developed over the last 50 years. It synthesizes very little of it's actually original with me. There are a few pieces of that if you've gone through the energy field work training, that the few pieces that are original with me, but most of it is just different things that I've studied over the last 50 years. There's probably, if I look at all the courses that I took to bring all of that energy field work together, I probably got, maybe $80,000 or $90,000 in courses to bring that understanding together and tie it all together. And that's one of the workshops that we do in our Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive. And I have been getting a couple of inquiries for intensives, and I'm thinking about maybe we'll do another online intensive, a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again, and tie it in with teacher training. So if you have an interest in that, one of the things we'll be doing for that, because, of course, in the live intensive where they're live doing a demonstration, we teach everybody this hands-on system. And I've been contemplating looking for a videographer here in Bristol that we can hire to do a video of that training work, so that part of the intensive will be that video that walks people through the hands-on energy field work. Awesome adjunct to the still point breath process. And when you tie it together with still point breathing and people experience it for the first time, they are quite literally blown away. And so that's all part and parcel. You know, one small aspect of this whole body of work tied into the process of forgiveness. And of course, there's the food program that goes hand in hand with that. And when you do an online intensive, we now have a private Facebook page that has just an awesome gathering of information about food. And we thank you, Urate, for having the skills and the willingness and the ability to help us to put that together, basically put that together for us, I should say. And so now when somebody does an intensive, whether it's a live intensive or if they buy a self-study intensive, it includes that whole food program. And she's devised recipes for, 14 weeks, 3 days a week, three meals, total fresh and raw food, recipe, equipment, the way to put it all together, the recipes. And then there's an app called Trello that you get exclusive access to with our content that gives you support for how to get started in doing something that's more nutritionally solvent and strengthens and vitalizes the structure for healing. And so if you're interested in joining us for one of those intensives, you could drop Janie a note, Janie, at whyagain.org. And you could give her your phone number in that communication, letting her know you're interested in intensive. And I'll connect with you and we'll get set up. You can also, as we talked about the other day, we do have one intensive available as a self-study right now. It's actually 90 hours of self-study, 89 to be precise, 89 hours of self-study on the topic of codependence to interdependence. And so we cover several workshops in that time frame. We cover, of course, codependence to interdependence, why is this happening to me again, healing through relationships, communication, did you hear what I think I said, mind shifters and still point breathing, part of that intensive. And we did actually two intensives that we combined. So that package includes two personal code evaluations, so you get a specific look at what are the issues that I need to work through? The evaluation pinpoints those. It's something that's based on what's called the MMPI, the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory. That's kind of the gold standard of psychological testing. although we've turned it into a personal code evaluation. So through that medium, you can get a look at where there are weaknesses in your personal code and how to upgrade the personal code so you get feedback before the intensive specifically. Here are some assignments to handle that place where there's weakness for you. Here's a mind shift to use. Here's a verbal link. Here are the videos to watch. Here are the signs and symptoms of it. So we give a full explanation of that. And then at the end of the intensive, you get to do another evaluation, and the differential will tell you how effective your work has been. And you'll get to see, as you head out of that, the completion of that intensive, you get to see what your next level of work is. Where are you at? What did you gain strengths in that you can now set aside the assignments from that particular area and bring on whatever's next in that? It basically breaks personal code down into 10 areas and gives you feedback on what to do next and how to do it. So if you're interested in that, that whole package is available. It's a 90-hour self-study, 90 hours of video, 89 hours of video. I'm actually going to bring a group together, and we're going to add that 90th hour. So we've got that last piece. We can round it out at 90. It'll probably actually end up being a couple-hour video, so it'll be more like 91. But in any event, it's there and available if you're interested in doing a self-study. And, of course, the intensive or the radio show is here to create support so that, you know, as Joe did the other day, you can call in and ask your question. What's the block? What do you need support with? How can we move that work that you're doing forward for you? And, you know, if you want to do the food program, then there's the private Facebook page that goes with the intensive. There's the Trello app. And everything we can do to support you, and the cost, you know, to do 90 hours of video for the whole intensive, everything including the two personal code evaluations and the food program, is $600. So it's another way to support us, help us to create the cash flow that it takes to keep things going, to develop the next round of products that we're working on. And we are moving several things forward. And so if you want to support us, that's another way to support us. And also, Miss Julie offered, and we've got until the 15th of the month, so another few days, that anyone who donates in this time period, she'll match their donations, so up to $1,000. So thank you, Miss Julie, for inspiring people. Several people have jumped in and created assistance. And so if you are benefiting from this and you want to help us to move things forward, you can go to our website, whyagain.org. There's a donate button. It's pretty prominent. You can click on it. It uses PayPal, but you can use a credit card, and it uses PayPal to process your credit card payment and such. And if it's something where you're sending something to us as your friend and or family, you can click that button, and they don't take a percentage off the top. Otherwise, they take a small percentage. And so that's kind
of an
outline of what's
– Michael, you can't do the family and friends from the donate button. The way that PayPal's got that set up, charge on that as well. Yeah. If you have a PayPal account, you can actually log into your PayPal account and then send money to Michael's email and click on it that it's family or friends, and then they don't charge a fee to you or us.
There you go. So if you're in PayPal, you can just send mjr187@gmail.com, and we'll receive it. And Julie will double it. So how cool is that? We're certainly appreciative of it. Being off the road and having Heartland shut down for 3 years now. And I don't know, with COVID going on here in Bristol, you know, they've got a racetrack and all kinds of things going on. And the other day they had an increase by, and it's a fairly small town, 100 cases of COVID cases, which is just crazy. So we're, sort of looking at when Heartland might begin to move and open again. But otherwise, of course, it just sits there like a sponge sucking up money. So it's just part of the process. So, Miss Jean, do you have any thoughts to share? Anything going on? Any questions in the emails? Or
No, I think we answered all the questions in the emails already. Yesterday, somebody had asked where they could buy a copy of the Kaboris, and we told them about the Enlightenment. And then another one just said that they liked some of the things that we had on their website and where could they get more information. And so I sent them several links, and it's like, you can go forever on that website and not run out. And then I told them about the show and about the app. But you got a couple hands up.
Awesome. Let's say hello.
All right. The first one is Joe, 864. You're on the air.
Hey. Hey, what's happening?
Hey, good, sir.
Joe Bryson.
We're rocking. How about
Joe
you?
Joe Bryson. Since 1959.
Hmm.
Resonating
all
since
right.
59, brother.
There you go, circling the earth for a few decades.
Questioning. Question is,
yes.
Left side of my neck, I wake up now almost every morning with stiff or a pain in the neck. And
uh-huh.
Just curious what your thoughts are about the location, I guess, or...
Well, neck,
it's surprising.
Symbolically, tends to represent the connection between heaven and earth. So as you're doing, you know, you've taken on, you know, was what been now about 2 weeks you've been doing the codependence intensive. So my take would be the first hit that I get out of it is that you're opening that connection. You're opening yourself in a new way. And that which needs to be healed in tissue is now, you know, being stirred up and you're getting to look at it as you're opening to a new level of your work. And then, of course, you know, you could ask yourself the questions, or anybody that you've been thinking of in your life that you might describe as a pain in the neck that might inflict that kind of energy on your tissue structure. Now, that little laugh.
The little laugh meant my contemplation of who's a pain in the neck. I mean,
yeah, you got to be careful what you say. You know, people are, you're a pain in the butt. They end up with hemorrhoids or all kinds of crazy things that happen.
Yeah.
Can I add?
Yeah.
Please do, Jeannie.
Yes, ma'am.
They say the left side is also the, wait a minute, sweetie. The left side is the male side, and it's also the sending side. So is there a male in your life, and it may even be yourself, that you want to say something, send something to, send some energy to, or something that you're holding back? And I looked up Louise Hay. I really like her Alchemy of Healing. Yeah. And she says the neck represents flexibility and the ability to see what's back there, refusing to see other sides of a question, stubbornness, inflexibility, and unbending.
Huh. Yeah, my father, he's here in town, and he lives in Malden. I live in Piedmont. And he's got lymphoma on the side of his face, and it's just protruding. And it's gotten to the point where it's just, I don't know how else to describe it, but it just looks hideous. It's a monster.
Pretty nasty.
You know. Yeah. It's just, now it's two lumps, two protrusions out right in front of his ear. So, and I can't, I don't know. I feel like saying, look, you know, we really got to go. I want to go with you. And see what the doctor says. And he doesn't want to. He's expressed to me already that part of him is he's done. He's 89 years old, and I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm like, yeah, but every function or every, you know, if we go to lunch, I take him, try to hook up with him over the weekends. And, you know, it's almost like I'm at the point now where, you know, if I'm going to take him somewhere, I got to, or I, for me anyway, the self-consciousness of it is, you know, let's get a booth and put you on the one side so people can't see it. But, you know, the waitress can see it. I mean, everybody can see it. It's just this nasty big mole coming out of the side of his face. And You know, I guess the other thing, I mean, just to express myself, my sister, my oldest sister, Anne, she probably would say to them, we're going to the doctor and you don't have any say about it. And then just yesterday I stopped by his place and gave him, I had some bursitis in my knee earlier in the year, and I bought some braces, you know, just the elastic supports for my knee. So I brought him over with the ones that I had, because he's experiencing now, I think it's arthritis in his knee, but he's dragging his right foot around, or he's, you know, kind of, it's painful for him to bend his knee, I guess. So anyway, it's a couple things, and he's 89 years old, and he has expressed to me that, you know, I'm done with this. I really, you know, I'm not going to have it. The challenge with the lymphoma is that if they do any work on it, he's going to possibly lose the use of his eye. So he doesn't want that. So,
right.
But I just feel as time goes by, though, I feel like he's going to become more of a recluse, doesn't want to go anywhere, doesn't do anything because of the way he looks or, you know.
Right.
Or the way he thinks.
I have a suggestion that perhaps, you know, letting him know that you understand that he's not interested in doing treatment, you know, lymphoma treatment can be a pretty painful, traumatic thing. And I think older people oftentimes just like that. So it's like, you know, I'm not going to do it. But you might be able to get him to join you at the doctor's with just let's find out what we're dealing with. And then if there's anything we can do, let's say nutritionally to keep you stable, to keep you healthier, or what have you, that, you know, maybe he'd be open to, okay, let's at least know what we're dealing with. You know, if the car's got a squeak, is it the tailpipe loose, or is it the wheel rim?
Yeah.
If I know, I can do something about it without necessarily, you know, acknowledging to him that you recognize he doesn't want to go into some big treatment regimen. And that might open a space for him to step into a little bit of willingness, and or maybe even a cosmetic type surgery might be something he could do that would make him more comfortable without getting into a big treatment regimen.
Yeah, and the other thing that's always been his concern is paying for something, is to have the money to do whatever is required or whatever he chooses to do. But I like your idea of saying, hey, please let's go together and just see what the options are. And
see if there's something you do that's non-invasive, that's not painful.
Right. Or nutritional.
And,
reduce the swelling.
Yeah. Right. And quite likely, you know, he's got where he could easily probably get Medicaid or Medicare. That would help if, let's say, cosmetic surgery would perhaps relieve some pressure and improve his appearance. Might be something that, without getting into, you know, the big tear and trauma of cancer treatment, as so many people have, justifiably have.
I just feel I have to say that to him. I have to do it in a, you know, in a manner of, you know, just approaching him and say, you know, for my sake, or I don't know if I would say for my sake, but it is, it's like, Dad, come on, you know, please come with me. Let's go talk to whoever your doctor is. I need to understand this and see if there isn't anything that we haven't missed, because it's not like he doesn't have the money to do something. He has the money. And then the other side of it is, he has a bit of I worked towards putting a new roof on his house, and he thought it was going to be all kinds of this, that, and the other money. And it wound up being, you know, insurance paid for it. And it was $1,000 to have a new roof put on. It was like, you know, nothing to it. Not a big deal. And he kind of has that mindset.
Same with your face.
Or maybe I,
Maybe you can do the same with the roof with what's going on with his face and not have to get into a big, you know, a big expense or trauma type of thing.
Maybe. That's what I'm thinking. That's part of the neck issue, I think. So, thank you.
We'll hold the space you breathe and clear out whatever layer is going on, and allow your intuition to kick in so that whatever you need to say to bring him comfort and support will be there.
Yeah. Right. Amen. Okay. Making my way through the videos, which are fabulous. And
tell me about your experience so far.
I would say, what did I do with that? That's over here. My experience so far is to be by myself and be able to back up when I want to. That's very, very helpful. I mean, you know,
that's
you and
handy,
I have been
yes.
together, and so I can, you know, here by myself, I can stop the video, I can back it up and write down what you said or what someone said. The other thing is, I'm fascinated by how the question and answer, you know, people, Tom and Yurate and whoever, you know, you have in the class, they're the question and answer is just as useful, you know.
Absolutely.
Which is great. It really is.
That live interaction is awesome to have. What hour are you on? How far in are you now to the 90 hours?
I am week 7 power person. It was this morning.
Okay, so you're well into what?
Yeah.
So you've watched about, 30 hours or so of video? Maybe
probably.
Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood. Yeah.
Because soon I'm going to have to send him the new the PowerPerson worksheet that started out as one page and ended up being 16?
Oh, wow.
Well, it's at its state right now. It's about 12 pages, yeah. Well, you'll be getting a new one. There's one that I'm working on currently, and it's going to end up, I think, by the time I have it finally edited, it'll be about 12 pages. But it's taken the whole codependence aspect of the workshop to a whole level that for 25 years I never even came close to or never touched. So you'll be excited when you see how that goes.
The resonation of...
I was going to say, I think you did the codependence weekend that I did up in Hartford City. Wasn't that the first workshop you did?
You know, that's so long ago. I don't remember. I mean, you know, not sure if it was codependence or if it was, you know, why again. Because it was only, I thought it was only a 2-3 day kind of thing. We weren't there that long.
It was. Yeah. Yeah, it was a shorter one.
Yeah. But I will say that the power person, my interaction with my significant other, her feet resonate within me. My mother, it's such a thing that it's like, what is it about her feet? I look at her feet and I say, oh, there's Mom, which is just,
well, that's,
you know, I'm just throwing it out there. Yeah, I just throw it out there. She has the toe thing where it's bent, you know, a hammer toe, whatever it's called. And she, of course, you know, most women paint their toenails, and my mom did too. But just this aspect of I don't know, just a hunched over. And I think I will say that, you know, what's interesting is how to feed back to you what I'm experiencing. And I, you know, you kind of, I find myself hesitating or not wanting to say certain things, but that foot thing. And then the other thing that gets resonated for me is being hit, or, you know, my mother hitting me for, or just playing around, whacking me, you know,
right.
Cause I became bigger. I got bigger than her very quickly. She's a small woman, and, you know, and it was playful, but there's always an aspect of, and then again, the other thing, Mike, is I feel like, you know, what am I feeling? Sorry for myself. What is this nonsense? You know, toughen up. You know, she was only kidding around. You know?
My offering would be, rather than instructing your mind to toughen up, would be to instruct your mind to get safe enough to go into what's really there you know, there might be a place where it wasn't so playful and it wasn't so, you know, lighthearted. It might be pretty heavy, but that's very likely under the surface. And that's
right.
Where the tendency is to hold the breath and lock it in and not want to deal with it and say, well, I just need to be tough and put a layer over this so I don't have to feel it. But where you really want to go is, okay, so, gee, I don't have a clue what's here. Is this serious? Is this playful? Was there abuse? Was it, you know, what? And I'm willing to look, so show me, you know, let me look there and maybe do a worksheet. Maybe in that memory of her being playfully, you know, hitting, maybe there's a goal for her to be more respectful of you or to take better care of you or, you know, whatever that's about. And then, and if you don't resolve that, then those goals will tend to play out and get projected into your brain's image of your partner. And you'll find yourself wanting those things from your partner, but it really, and your partner goes, what the hell are you talking about? Because you're not even home for what you're talking about, because what's going on under the surface is 40 years ago.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
and the mind,
really
the mind is constructing realities out of a long time ago and substituting that reality, that construct, for what's actually happening in the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And when you clean it out, it just opens all kinds of wonderful spaces in relationship.
Yeah, I,
sweet spaces.
I asked my sister and my dad, I said, do you think that mom had a learning disability? Because she, all my mother wanted to do was have us. That was it. That was her,
right.
You know, just her complete
have her children, right?
And, but having two children and parenting them, you know, for the last 30 years for Logan and 33 for Claire, and, you know, basically done on that end, except for, you know, structural changes that can certainly take place with this work and others. Just the aspect of, you know, she wasn't real. It was like, you know, don't worry about school. Just go out and play. Just go be, you know, go out and, you know, explore the world. You know, don't worry about academics. And I seem to be holding something about that because it's certainly important to me that I was not given. And then with Claire and Logan, my children, I made sure that, you know, you can have a snack, but then we're doing homework, you know. And I want to make sure
right.
It's done. So it was something that was important to me and not so much important to her. And just, I don't know.
So would that be experienced for you as a kind of lack of support?
Yeah, kind of this lack of respect, lack of support. And my dad was just, you know, he wasn't much better at the whole thing. I mean, the only thing I can remember him doing is when it was time, you know, it was third grade. Third grade was a big, and that must have been third grade, like 9 years old. And
right.
That's when a shift occurred. Yeah, I couldn't get numbers. And I really believe if I was diagnosed, I'm dyslexic. I have a bit of this. Once the numbers become 3 to 4 digits, they jump, they move, you know, and I'm like, whoa, did I just witness that? And it's kind of, you know, what I do. Yeah. And I have to be careful of what I do because different aspects of selling a truck, you know, you have the price and you have taxes and you have, you know, so on and so forth. And so there's this, wait a minute, you got to breathe into this thing and take your time with it because it can cost you. But I think with my dad, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, the best that I experienced with my dad was there was no doubt that he was going to teach me the times tables. You know, so it was 1 times 1, 1 times 2, 1 times, you know, 2 times 2, 2 times 4. We did the flashcards, and what I did, I would start in with the tears and act like he's you know, oh my God, he's killing me. This is killing me. You know, I got to get out of this. Mom, come save me. You know, get me out of doing these times tables. This ogre is forcing me to learn this. And it's one of those situations. I'm so grateful that he, you know, held her off and
persevered.
Said, no, this has, you know, huh?
That he persevered for you?
Yeah, exactly. Persevered for me and said, no, this is very, very important. And I'm like, yeah, now that I'm 63 years old, like, you look back and go, yes, wow, thank you. And
right.
Anyway, so.
So I'd suggest that you look up a thing online called Brain Gym.
Brain Gym?
And
okay.
Brain Gym, yeah. And it's something you can start to do on your own. It's a pretty simple program.
Mm-hmm.
But for people with learning disabilities or dyslexia, and, you know, the whole session today started out with endonasocranial, and that's exactly what where the difficulty is in that, literally, that antenna system that when, you know, the eyes bring information in, it gets jumbled in the brain. Now, of course, the numbers didn't move anywhere, but your brain moved them around. Because there's a brain disconnect. There's an energy disconnect in the brain, which is oftentimes what they call dyslexia or learning disabilities or what have you. And some of that relates to right back in, you know, the early years when, you know, a child goes from sitting in the playpen or what have you to walking, and they don't have the space and they're not trained or not allowed to crawl. Actually crawling, there's a thing they call cross crawling where you'd actually use your left leg and your left arm to move forward and your right leg and your right arm or pardon me, your left arm and your right leg and vice versa, that you'd cross crawl. And even adults, that's one of the ways they take adults back through and kids back through to rewire the brain to get that energy interrupt that creates those numbers jumping into a sort of confusion and lack of comprehension comes from a lack of patterning in early years and or perhaps injury or what have you. And the Brain Gym can be a powerful way to, you know, just redo that, move it through pretty quickly and restructure that.
Fantastic. So thank you.
And there are therapists who specialize in it called repatterning therapists.
Oh, yeah.
But you can do, you can go online and buy a Brain Gym program. Yeah. Probably you can even just go on YouTube and there'll be some different teachers of Brain Gym that do their classes and you can just pick them up from there and do them and you'll find it'll make a difference.
Yeah, I typed out this morning and I am the thinker apart from the thought. I am the feeler apart from the feeling, and I am the actor apart from the action. I just love that. I really find harmony with that. Think, you know, reminding myself of that.
Yeah.
And it's nice.
It's part of the process of awakening to being. Nice breath.
Yeah, thank you.
You just moved a whole chunk of energy. Where it happens.
That's all I had. Yeah, I'll be back. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you, Jeannie.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing your process and your
You're
questions
welcome.
With going through the intensive, and it's a contribution, a learning experience for everybody. So much appreciation.
Jeannie's like your Ed McMahon. She's you're like Johnny Carson, and she's, you know, because that you have to be a certain age to understand that, right?
Right.
And then
anyway,
there's Aria Rain.
Show. Thank you. There's Aria.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, we're blessed. So blessed.
I'll talk to you again. Yep.
Okay, blessings. Take care.
Blessings
Bye-bye.
On you both. Bye now. Bye.
Got it. Sweet. Thank you, Joe, for stepping forward. Appreciation. Everybody in the community benefits from that experience. So, Miss Jeannie, do we have anybody else out there in the phone queue with a hand
we
up?
We did, but he disappeared. It was Michael from Heartland, but He just dropped off the switchboard right now. So I don't know. Maybe he'll come right back on. So we'll look for, let me check this phone number. As they pop up, I can check them and see if it's somebody that we know. Nope. He's not back on yet. So maybe he'll call back in a minute.
Okay. I'm just sending him a text letting him know that he's on.
And in the meantime, what would you suggest to someone? Sweetie, hold on a minute. I'm talking. If someone is like in resistance to taking any suggestions, but they seem to be determined that their situation is everyone else's fault, and so they're not even doing anything to try to improve their own situation, it's like, you know, even if it were true, and it's not, but if it were true that it's everybody else's fault for what's going on for you, to not try to do something to improve your situation, then...
Now, are you talking...
Go ahead.
I was just wondering if you were talking about a certain famous politician or what that's in that blame game and victim mode, wondering, you know, how it's everybody else's fault and the whole conversation's about everybody else. And, you know, that is, I mean, that's the one world religion. The one world religion is simple. Everything that's going on in my mind is everybody else's fault. And once you wake up and you start to go, oh, this is going on in my mind. What is going on inside of me is inside of me. Then you can start to change things. But literally, as long as we live in denial, this is such an important word in this work, denial. And denial isn't the pretense that something isn't true. You know, a lot of times in, let's say, alcoholic work, there's this idea of denial that, you know, I just deny that anything's wrong and everything's fine. And everything. But that's not what we're talking about here. We've got a very specific definition for the word. And that is whenever I think or speak as though something outside of me is the cause of what's moving inside of me, I lose the power to change what's happening inside of me. So when I say, you made me mad, now those words instruct my mind to structure my reality and show me a picture of how you have caused this to happen to me. And I'm now literally dissociated from that mad or sad or afraid or incompetent, whatever it is. I hide that part away from myself in a way that I can't repair it. You know, the cost of denial is I can repair the part of my mind that otherwise, if I were to simply own it and go, I've been through this 87 different times with 42 different people. Maybe this is about me. Maybe this is mine. When I can start to suspect that, then I can start to open to whatever the deficiency is that's causing the problem, and I can rectify the problem. I'll be empowered to change it. Now, so it's interesting that people who don't want to deal with something, generally speaking, put it the only place in the world that is going to have ongoing deleterious effects, and that's inside of their own minds and bodies. And oftentimes, one of the things that I think allows people to stay stuck there is, well, I've tried everything, okay, and nothing works. Okay, so if you've tried everything and nothing works, then you haven't tried everything, because there are very effective tools and techniques for taking you out of that victim mode and changing the dynamic. But you can't have those, you can't use those tools and techniques until you can acknowledge, this is mine, this is about me, I'm the one who needs to take the bull by the horns and heal. And people who've tried and tried and tried with limited resources, they've tried to do this, they've tried to do that, they read this book, or they did that, or they did that, or they did that, and they go, well, nothing I've tried works, therefore nothing works. Then they're locked out of healing their own minds and their own lives, and that's a tough place to be. Because doing that locks them into, you know, the title of my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And, you know, we'll talk to that person in a year and it'll be the same in another year and another year and another year and another year and another year. Now, we get to work with people all the time, as you oftentimes observe. People are in that mode of it's all everybody else's fault, and we kind of, you know, metaphorically tap them on the shoulder and say, did you notice that you were there every time? Are you interested in uncovering the parts of your mind that keep the pattern going? And we have a supremely effective set of tools for doing that. Yes, you're going to have to do it. Yes, there's going to be work. But excuse me, it is not hopeless. You are not helpless. If you step up to the plate and take responsibility, then you can start to uncover the parts of you that are in need of healing. And, you know, that's the whole foundation of this work. But in denial, those parts are hidden away at a place, at a level where they're not going to change. And so by doing that, hiding something in the only place that's going to have a permanent effect on you is a pretty bizarre solution to life. The place where most people hide it, of course, is inside themselves. And the way we hide from ourselves is by saying, you made me. Now, whatever's true about what's moving inside of me, when I say you made me, I've inhibited my mind's ability to show me that part of my own mind. And so stepping up to the plate and changing the game is what it's all about. Is that fitting with your question, sweetie?
Yes, absolutely. Perfectly. Thank you.
Cool. So we've got about 8 minutes left. If anybody's out there with a question or thought, if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you in our control panel, you can dial into the show directly by calling 563-999-3581. If you do that, you're listening to the show directly on your phone. And then if you push 1, that raises a hand in the control panel, and we'll know that you want to speak to us. So how can we support you? What's on your mind?
We have a hand up, and I believe it is Miss Susan, 610. You're on the air.
Hi, Michael. I've been listening to your talk, and it's very good. I have a question that I know I've asked before, but I'll come around to it from a different angle. I'm talking about my grandson Jacob, who appears to have, if you use the diagnostic label, you would say he has a narcissistic personality disorder. It's not just narcissism, but it's a personality disorder, and I know I'm using terms that I don't want to slap on somebody forever. However, everything I have listened to about this, one thing struck me is that the person who is exhibiting all of these traits, and I won't go into them all, but they include entitlement and victim, playing the victim and so forth, getting nasty when things don't go their way. They say this, the person who is exhibiting these has been arrested at an age of about 6 or 7, probably because of trauma, which makes total sense.
I agree.
So I remember in my studying, my time of studying to be a psychotherapist millions of years ago, they talked about reparenting. And I don't know whether this usually involved something like what you were talking about, learning to crawl all over
the
again,
brain gym,
using different.
Right? Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've got a friend who works with children in that way. But to get a person with this disorder to be open to any kind of help, because they don't think anything's wrong with them. They think everything's wrong with the rest of the world, and they're not accessible to making changes. And, you know, I can do all the questions in the world. What? Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you can heal you around it, but you certainly aren't going to change for him. You can change the energy space and possibility, but certainly when one's, and I would title it slightly differently than arrested at that age, I would offer that what happened was the three conditions were met for the installing of a power person dynamic. Person in charge of the space was not functioning as love. The person in charge of the space had more power over his life than he did, and he perceived it as survival, took on the energy pattern of the power person.
Mm-hmm.
And until that's processed through, it's going to control his life every time the stress is up and the chips are down.
That's exactly what happens. The stress goes up even a little bit, over the top. He's out of the ballpark. And I don't know how to find him. I just don't know how to find him.
Well, one of the things to do would be perhaps develop a new routine conversation with him. And that would be to ask him the question, what's your goal right now? Like, we've had several conversations. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So there would be the place to perhaps introduce, notice that you're in stress. Now you're turning to your nasty self that you've expressed you don't even like. And here's why it's happening. You've got a goal that isn't being achieved, and that goal is creating stress in your mind. Would you consider, even just for a minute, canceling that goal? Taking a breath, just letting go of it and see what happens. Might open a space for him. Especially as how you have seen the value in that and you've injected the understanding of true forgiveness into your genetic bloodline. That means it's going to be easier for him to open to it and start to get it than it would be otherwise. But that might
That's
be one of the ways of approaching it with him.
That's a lovely thought. Now, when you say give up the goal, you mean the immediate goal of getting an allowance when he hasn't been clean
mm-hmm.
enough?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Wow. Well, I'll do that. We do talk.
And maybe explain to him, maybe explain to him how there have been times when your stress level's been up around him. And maybe, explain or ask him if he's noticed shifts in your behavior at times. And tell him what you've done. Tell him it's been effective for me. When I want you to do thus and so, and I'm ready to go through the roof, what I do is I take a breath and I cancel the goal for you to do that, and I find that reduces my stress, and I can be more sane.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get him to hear that speech, then maybe ask the question. So did that make sense? Did you hear that? Can you repeat that back to me? When he
mm-hmm.
gets it into his speech, and he might have to repeat that 20 times, but there'll come a point where it will go into his own self-talk. And when it does, it'll open a space. And in the meantime, if you can get him to a repatterning therapist, someone that works with repatterning, reparenting, or maybe even just, send them some links to Brain Gym. Because that the Brain Gym can, usually consistent with that learning disability and such, or where there's been abuse, there's also an anomaly that happens in physiology. So you can approach and heal from the verbal, from the mental, from the physical. Literally, the repatterning can open those spaces where that energy assault happened and help to let loose of that energy assault and the trauma.
Mm. Mm. Good. I'm breathing, Michael. Thank
you.
Yay. I know that's helpful. It's helpful on two levels, practical help and hope. I think I give up hope. And so you've given me some hope again.
Yeah.
But this isn't,
because
they say in these videos, they say, you can't change me. These people are not going to change. That's it. And
there's an old saying.
Yeah.
There's an old saying that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Yeah.
And that's true.
Well,
but you can make him thirsty.
Boy, that's good.
Give them a little salt. You know, you can open, get the brain cells moving, and that would be a mechanism for getting the brain cells moving into a different mode than what's so deeply emotionally patterned. And also recognize it's not just his emotional pattern that he's dealing with. It's his power person. It's in his genes.
Yeah. Well, that's a real trigger for him. I know we're going to be cut off. He says, quit ragging on my father. My father is my only friend right now. Well, his father wants to look good, so right now, you know. But anyway, that's just an argument. Your point
well,
is well made.
Well, then great. There's a great opening for then great. Let your dad take care of your allowance. Perfect.
Oh, I did. And then
awesome.
He says, well,
yeah,
my dad
perfect.
Is kind of volatile. He won't give me an allowance. My dad's kind of volatile, he says. Okay.
See, he's playing loose and free with the truth, and sooner or later he's going to have to come to grips with some truth, and it's
all
not
right.
going to be easy.
Oh.
All right, dear heart, we hold the space.
Thanks.
Blessings.
Thanks for the.
All righty. Delighted. Take care. Bye-bye.